Well, our population in Charlottesville has increased by 21,000 in the last 10 days. And I can believe it. We have finished one full week of classes. It's hard to imagine already. And already, I think most of us on the faculty feel as though, isn't June soon around the corner? You know, we hope. We have this new system that the university put in 2 years ago. It's a combination of what they call CoLab for collaboration and student information system. It supposedly costs $50 million and only takes 10 times longer to do anything. Because they never consulted faculty members on this, and the other systems seem to work perfectly well, so as a result of it, you end up making phone calls before you can do anything. It's not intuitive, and there are no instructions. Anyway, every time I hear this gospel, I think of a time that I actually went to a wedding feast, and I sat in the lowest place, and I was invited up to the head table. The only thing is, if you've ever been to one of the old-style banquets at a wedding table, there's just one row of seats. So therefore, you can only talk to the person on either side of you. You have to choose which one. If you're on the end, you're sort of left out. I was on the end. And then another time, I was teaching in Ukraine, and there was a rededication of a monastery in this tiny village. I never did get the name of it. And in those days, I had bad habits like smoking. And it was very bad for a priest to be seen smoking in public, although he could bring his wife with him, because they do have a married... They have a married clergy, so it depends on the difference in approach. So this other American priest and I were both teaching there temporarily for a semester. We went behind a barn so I could smoke my pipe, and then I go into the main hall, and lo and behold, I'm ushered up to sit next to the bishop, the auxiliary bishop, who is now a cardinal. Somebody argued with me that I was talking about the Orthodox Church. I said, no, the head is a cardinal. They elect the pope, so they're part of us. It's a different rite of the Catholic Church. But anyway, it turned out he's an American citizen, Lubomir Husar, and he actually lived in Washington for most of his adult life. But anyway, I thought of this as being invited up, because there's a whole theme running through these readings today. The first reading from Sirach, this is late Judaism, probably 200 years before Christ. And it's talking about true humility, and God will reward you. But God is the one who acts. It's not a matter of self-denial, really. It's a matter of recognizing who we are. Then the epistle to the Hebrews says, you have not approached Mount Sinai. You have not approached this where you're going to get this voice who speaks and never will speak again. You'll be afraid to hear that voice. No, you've approached Mount Zion, heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the themes that we've been having in the gospel readings for the last 2 weeks. Today's gospel picks up from last week. Last week we had the thing of Jesus talking to the people in a parable that... You know, at this banquet in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, people will be drawn from east and west and north and south. All will be equal because, of course, he's speaking to a bunch of Jewish converts. And they still think in terms of somehow or other you have to be descended from Abraham. So today he picks up and talks about this banquet. And do not seek the highest place. It's very simple. It has nothing to do with etiquette going to a banquet. It has to do with the recognition that we should have that we don't deserve to be invited at all. And I thought of this many times with some of the contemporary issues dividing the church. I've said this before. Certainly, dialogue has become the eighth capital sin. We're not supposed, after all, we know we're right. And it's, as one man told me, it's my church. No, it's not. It's our church. We're in this together. So how do we understand it? First of all, as usual, what is the notion of humility? Secondly, we have to say, realize, we do not invite ourselves, we are invited. And third, what are we really looking for? First of all, humility. It's not like Uriah Heep, you know, where, oh, I'm not worthy of anything. No, it's not that. In fact, humility is truth. We recognize our relationship to God. We recognize that what makes us important is ultimately our relationship to God that nobody can see. Yesterday, we had the feast of St. Augustine of Hippo. And Augustine in his confession said, love God and do as you please. Now, a lot of people have chosen to misinterpret it. It means if we truly love God and we are so identified with him, then we conform our will to God's. Therefore, we can do as we please if we truly love him. He also said, although he's gotten a bad press on some other things, but he said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Our real identity, true humility, is when we recognize our total dependence on God. And nobody else can really see that. What makes any of us important should be our relationship to God, not where we stand up here or down there or how many degrees we have or anything else. People get degrees maybe because they're too dumb to learn on their own. But nevertheless, part of humility is to know yourself and your strengths, but also to use your strengths and your talents. Last week I was preaching to St. Thomas, and I want to get this thing started, that if those kids come here, they are talented, and they have a Catholic religious obligation to use the talents. They didn't come here to party, and they didn't really come here to get distracted by religion. Ignatius Loyola, the founder of my order, sort of startled some people. In fact, I've learned many people still say, they're not Catholic anymore, meaning my order. And one of the things that Ignatius realized very early on, there were crazy rules that were set down that no priest should take more than a half hour in saying Mass, a private Mass in those days. The reason was he realized that sometimes to take longer was a temptation from the devil, taking him away from the obligations that he should have. Therefore, the use of talents and strengths, we first of all have to recognize them in order to recognize they must be used for the glory of God. We have to be humble and recognize our relationship to God. Second point, after reading this gospel, sometimes I wonder if any of us will ever have a dinner party again. Because after all, he throws the thing out to the Pharisee who invites him. He said, next time you invite, go, don't invite your friends and your neighbors and your wealthy neighbors, because they'll invite you back. Invite the people that nobody would want. We do not own the church. We are part of the church. Last week, Jesus was talking about the people in the kingdom of God are going to come from all over the place. And likewise, when we say, it's my church, no, we are saying somehow or other, we have the truth that nobody else does. And that's one of the marvelous things. I mentioned the story about being in Ukraine. Because even when I came back here after that summer there, many people challenged me that it wasn't a Catholic church. I said, yes, it is. There are 22 different rites, R-I-T-E church, in the Catholic Church. We're familiar mainly with the Latin Rite. One, there are 21 others. As a matter of fact, the Holy Father yesterday appointed a bishop for the Sierra Malabar. They're mainly from India, and there's a new bishop in the United States, chosen from India, because we have just about everything in the United States, and they're Catholic. My point is that somehow or other we can make our vision, our unique vision, our personal vision, the dominant one. We really don't want to move away from what we know. So what one of the things is, we should be happy just to be invited. The temptation is to act to be seen. The term I like to use is basking in reflected sunlight. How many times do you meet somebody and say, well, I shook his hand? So what? What have you done? Or people ask me, that since I work in the Vatican archives, well, do you see the Pope when you're there? No, I don't. He usually has his audience at the same time that I'm in the archives, and I will go over there to use the archives. I can watch the audience on television. It's as close as you get. But somehow or other, we have to recognize if we should be happy just to get inside the banquet hall, the Master may invite us to go up higher. But it's his choice to invite us and to invite us to move up higher, maybe. The earthly Master invites friends in the hope somehow or other of being invited back. That's why Jesus reminds them, invite the way God does. Invite the poor, the homeless, the outcasts. It's what we call the irony in some ways in Luke's gospel, the Lucan irony, because this is also the gospel where he has the woman who wakes the whole neighborhood up after she's found her coin. Nobody would do that, but God would. Same way with the lost sheep. No shepherd would leave the 99 in the desert to go looking for the one that was lost, but God would. So too, today's gospel talks about how God would act. And we're called to imitate him. Third and final point. What are we looking for? The epistle to the Hebrews, as I said here a couple of weeks ago, for many years, many centuries, was rejected by some of the local churches in the formation of what we call the canon. And the reason is we don't know who wrote it. It was attributed to Paul, but most scholars agree that it certainly was not Paul. Maybe Paul's circle. But nevertheless, what we have here is the contrast between seeking the dramatic. I'm still amazed at how many people put their faith in the unusual, the dramatic, because where is the greatest relic that has ever existed? We will celebrate it soon, the body of Christ. We don't have to go looking for it. It comes to us. And therefore, there's sort of a message for us. I'm not denying the value of making pilgrimages. I intend to make one myself. But nevertheless, in today's reading we have, do not look for the dramatic, but recognize Mount Zion, where it's the gathering of the firstborn, all those who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. But it's not individualistic. Notice it's the whole assembly. That's the banquet. That is the kingdom of God. All those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. It's corporate. It's within the church. It's within the body of Christ. It's not just Jesus and me, and I don't have to go far to find how Christ comes into my life. So our readings today sort of remind ourselves of, reminds us to have our real identity in recognizing our relationship to Christ through the church. But it means we're always working on it. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church. And then we should just thank God as we do when we say the Eucharist, to give thanks. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. I'm not sure what the changes in the liturgy, again, what we're going to say in a few weeks, but nevertheless, what we say right now, let us give thanks to the Lord our God, because we're invited. Any place is suitable for us. And we're not looking for the dramatic. We're looking for the commonplace, if you will, that Christ comes to us in the Eucharist, drawing us into the church, the mystical body, so that we may continue to serve him.